Applicants Monday through Friday, 10 to 2, and offering on-the-spot positions. If you're interested, stop by 1525 Industrial and apply within. You can also email ahines@hostessbrands.com or call 620-340-9235. Pay ranges vary from $18.25 to $43 an hour. Hostess Brands LLC is an equal opportunity employer. KBOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local, sunny 39 degrees. It is 828.
Emporia's
And let's see. Let me hit the wrong button push there. Let's see if we can't go ahead and do this now. There we go. That's What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten music right there. What's In Outdoors? Friday mornings right here, brought to you by our good friends at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50 and Express Tire and Auto. John and Jenny and the crew out there on East 12th near the water tower. What's In Outdoors? And from Studio North, chilly Council Grove Lake out there. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Oh, yes, John, it is chilly, and goodness, we are in a button-pushing world, aren't we?
Indeed we are, Phil. No doubt about that.
I need to step up my game and learn how to do that a little bit more, and that's one reason I've asked our guest, Tyson, to be on the show with us this morning. But yes, it is windy here, and I guess it's going to get cold tonight, isn't it?
Down to 26, Phil. How about that?
Well, I better go get the green tomatoes and see what I'm going to do with them before I go. But that's going to be chilly, but I tell you, that's going to bring smiles to the people that's going to go out pheasant hunting this weekend. And that's one of the reasons I asked Tyson to be on the show. Tyson is a conservation specialist at Star Seed out of Osborn, Kansas. And I've known him, since 2007, 2008, and when he was a student there at ESU, he graduated from ESU in 2009 and has went on and did some great things in the outdoors. Tyson was a superstar in the high school envirothons and eco meets. I would talk to some people about, achievements that kids do, and Tyson come up on an all-star list from a lot of them. He wasn't known for his football ability, but he was known for what he did in the outdoors. So, Tyson, welcome to the show this morning.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, glad to be here.
What's the weather like up in your neck of the woods?
Same, cold and windy.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and especially about that new app you got going on called Field Scout?
Yeah, so I moved to North Central Kansas about 2010 as I had taken a position out of after college there at Emporia State with Pheasants Forever, and had become one of the first private lands wildlife biologists that they had starting out in Kansas. And I worked in that role for about 7 years and covered a large area of North Central Kansas and worked with landowners and farmers, ranchers on conservation programs through the Farm Bill, stationed in the USDA field offices throughout that region of North Central Kansas, and got to cover just about everywhere a hunter would want to be, and ended up writing and working with everyone on their CRP contract. So got real familiar with the area and the programs that were available to the producers and the residents and non-residents that had properties that were wanting to improve and enhance the habitat for wildlife. So there's probably not a CRP field in all of North Central Kansas that I haven't been on, or had the opportunity to plan or plant what kind of mixtures they were using when they were planting or interseeding. So pretty heavily involved in those conservation programs. And having done that, got pretty good at kind of knowing what the birds were going to look like after being on, all these places over the years. So that's kind of got me what started, brought me to North Central Kansas. And after that position, I worked for a while at one of the hunting outfitters in the area there at Ringneck Ranch, and had a team of dogs that I was working pretty hard and had the guide string of about 12 dogs I was maintaining, personal dogs, throughout most of those years there as well. But got back from that and now working at Star Seed, helping deliver conservation programs to people all over the country now, even coast to coast. So designing and developing and making recommendations for CRP mixtures and food plots and habitat and rangeland and you name it. We get calls from everybody every day on pollinator and monarch habitat. So still delivering conservation and enjoying it every day.
Do you ever make it back to Wakefield anymore, Tyson?
Yes, I do. We get up there. I have a brother that's moved back to that area there, and family's still there, so we come back and visit weekends and holidays and bring the grandkids back over for Grandma and Grandpa to get to see and play with and take care of. So, yeah, love going home back to Wakefield.
Well, if you ever make it back to Wakefield, let me know. I'd like to get you to come up here to the lake at Council Grove and give me some advice on my wildlife area that I got going on. And I talk and preach there. We need to keep these wild spaces going. But have you had a big frost up in your neck of the woods yet?
We've had a couple minor frosts, nothing too hard. But I've yet to scrape any ice off the windshield yet. But sounds like we could be seeing something here shortly.
Tyson's still a lot of habitat. Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to say still a lot of crops in the fields up around this neck of the woods yet. We had some moisture and stuff. It was a little later, so there's quite a bit of corn still standing. Hunters are going to see when they're out. And a lot of Milo yet to be cut. But it's slowly getting finished up. I know they're all in a hurry to get it out of there and get it up and out. But so they may still see surprisingly more than last year at least.
Well, Tyson, where you live, and I mentioned last week that the Upland Game Bird forecast is talking about the Smoky Hills region being one of the best regions to go out after a bird sound. And I know on Friday when I was in high school before I-70, the number of traffic that was going down, I think it was K-18 then, and I sat there, and it was an army in orange going out to western Kansas for the pheasant hunter. But now, Tyson, I believe it's in Kansas, 97% of our land is privately owned. And, of course, to hunt property, you need to have permission. And Wildlife and Parks, several years ago, they saw the need to try to increase public access to get more land that people can hunt. And so they created something called Walk-In Hunter's Access. It has a very good map. And I don't know for sure how they go about contacting landowners to get people to hunt these lands. The map is real good. I use it in Hunter's Ed to show people, areas in Kansas, and it's really detailed. But one of the things that have been bad about it is because the land practices and what people plant change from year to year. The land that you hunted last year might not be planted in something this spring that would, entice the birds to be in there. So tell us a little bit more about your Field Scout application and how that can be used in conjunction with your Walk-In Hunter's Access Manual.
Sure, yeah. So to kind of echo, the program that the department's put together is one of the leading public access programs in the country. They were kind of one of the first ones to do it well and grow it to such a huge program. But with over 1 million acres statewide enrolled in the public access walk-in program, it provides a lot of opportunity for hunters to pursue all kinds of game, everything from upland birds to waterfowl, predators, big game deer and turkey, and all things like that. So, but over, like you mentioned, over the years, there's been a change and shift and farming practices and different operations, rotations, and what they plant. And when Wildlife and Parks approaches landowners, or landowners approach Wildlife and Parks on enrolling their properties into this program, they're compensated on kind of a lease agreement, and they post those boundaries along the property and allow that for public access. And sometimes those agreements can last more than just year to year. They may be lock in longer term contracts, 5 to 10 years. And over time, with crop rotations, they're going to rotate what crops they're planting. And one year you might have a great field of Milo or something if you're a bird hunter, and the next year you come back, it may be planted to beans or something, wheat, that may not provide the cover that you were looking for, that you remembered from last time when you marked that as a place to maybe check back on. But so a lot of that's just from over time. When the program was initiated, there was, we were the breadbasket of America, and the amount of wheat acres, I was looking at this the other day for statistics, the amount of wheat we used to plant was enormous, and some of the Milo acres, in the CRP that was there, that most of those acres that were enrolled were consisted of CRP contracts, CRP track lands, big grass fields, wheat fallow ground, and it was just unbelievable. And the bird population just responded well to that type of cover, and the access was nice, and people were really getting into that program. And now, as the CRP program's been drawn down on acres, and here with recent farm bills, we're starting to grow it back up. But there's years that we've lost almost half of what we used to have, like other states in the Midwest. The amount of CRP acres that were on the ground has been drastically reduced due to interest and commodity prices and all sorts of things. But when you start seeing a lot less wheat planted and a lot more corn and beans based off price or use of the crop oil and feed, there's become a shift. And I did report from in the 2019-2020 season, Kansas reported the fewest amount of wheat acres planted than they had in the past 100 years. So that's got to have a big effect on the amount of habitat that's out there when a lot of our pheasants and ground nesting birds are using wheat stubble and using wheat fields to raise their young out of and brood and nest in. It just provides a kind of an ideal canopy and bare ground component that they can have. But that's why it's always historically when people ask out how the bird populations are looking, they're trying to talk to farmers that are cutting wheat fields to know what kind of birds they were seeing in harvest. Were they pushing birds out? Were there a lot of birds? Were they flying yet? Were they still young? Excuse me. So those are kind of good indices to know what we're looking at. And this year, there was good reports, just getting spottier, just because that habitat's spottier. But there'll be places people will be impressed with the amount of birds they're finding. In other places, there's areas that have dried up because the habitat's been removed, and other things are out there. So that kind of provided the need for this app that we've developed, and it's called Field Scout. And what we've done is made a mobile application that maps all of these walk-in properties and identifies what crops are currently planted on these areas to kind of help hunters and traveling hunters and people plan and scout their trip before they get there or where they might go, or just save them some of those extra miles in the field if they know in their mind what they're looking for. If they're chasing birds and they know what kind of habitat that they would likely find them in, it can help them pinpoint which properties they may want to go to first rather than spending most of their day driving around trying to figure out where those are and then getting a chance to hunt one or two. So we've got this mobile application that identifies the crops planted. There's really no other source for this information, but the closest thing that comes to it, there are a few other applications that have cropping history reported from previous years in a cropland layer. But from my experience in traveling and looking at these, it's hard to predict what farmers are going to plant next in a series in a rotation, and it changes field to field. The rotation changes depending on the weather, the commodities, the markets. There's so much involved that oftentimes they don't even know. They got a general idea, but it varies so much that it's not as accurate as we would like to be. So we felt like, you know, this is an opportunity to put this information out there and make it available to people. So we've got a trial area that we've mapped this year of north central Kansas here in the Smoky Hill region from about Hayes, Kansas, north of I-70 to Salina. And we've covered all the way up to the Nebraska state border. And we've got about 12 counties there in a pretty productive region of Kansas for upland game bird hunting. And I want to kind of put that out there and let people look at it, use it, provide some feedback. We've already got some great suggestions from the field, from users, on some things that we'd like to add to it in the future to kind of have a convenience of all this information on bird hunting and other game species as well. It can be used to help target areas for deer and turkey and waterfowl fields if they're looking for feed fields in the flyway coming off of some of the reservoirs. They can all use it.
Well, Tyson, just how does that app work? Is that something I'll have on my phone? And like for years and years, I would go up into the Hunter, Kansas area, and that is in the area that you have mapped out. And some of that, you know, is in walk-in hunter's access. Do I put the coordinates a field that I know and seeing in the manual that they are enlisted. Do I put that into my phone and that'll let me know what's planted in there so I don't need to drive out there and check it out?
Yeah, so Wildlife and Parks, off their website, has got a download for displaying the walk-in tracks on a mobile platform that you can pull up on your phone or tablet or on your computer even, interactive mapping. And you download that ArcGIS Explorer app to your phone, and that's a free download to access that that program. And it brings up your GPS location from your phone, tells you where you're at on the map, what the properties are, when they're posted, season dates are. Some of those that open September for dove hunters. Some of them open here the 1st of November for upland game. Some are open early for deer hunting, and they all have sometimes different closing dates, whether it's the end of the year or end of bird season or the spring turkey hunting spots. But you can identify all that on their usable interactive layer. And what we've done for this year is provided a markup layer from our field scouts in the field, reporting where the milo's planted, where the beans are at, the wheat, corn, alfalfa, if it's idle, if it's been wheat stubble disced up and turned over and ready to plant new wheat. Some of those notes are added in, whether it's clean tilled. If it's stripper cut wheat stubble, that might provide a really tall stubble height. That's great for prey chicken or pheasants as well. Those notes are listed on those markup layers. And to get access to that layer, we've got a website platform built where people can purchase that that information from. And it gives them directions on how to download the free Explorer app from ArcGIS, import the public access walk-in layers to that map. It also has road maps. There's all kinds of base maps that you can add to the map on your phone for that program. But then once they purchase that product from us, it runs about $32.25. So for about $30, less than a tank of gas, you'll have access to information for a large area here in north central Kansas on if you're a public land hunter looking to hunt and walk in. I mean, the money it'll save at the fuel pump, driving around with gas prices today, and just the amount of time. We hope to keep people in the field more than behind the wheel. So this will be something they can use to help target those properties on where they might want to go and avoid ones that they may not have interest in without having to actually drive there to figure it out on site. So it's a pretty neat tool, and everyone who's kind of reviewed it's just thinking this is a great idea. And something special we're doing with it. So next year our plan is to launch statewide and have coverage for every county in the state. And we're going through a process of finding individuals that would like to help support us in this process of being hired scouts to look at stuff. And we look at things right before the season opens, so in that August September timeframe when the new maps are available, and guys can look to get the most accurate information on what's out there. But we'll have statewide information next year, and a portion of the proceeds that we raise from this program, we're going to be delivering back to the department there at Wildlife and Parks to help aid the walk-in hunting program, provide them some additional resources to lease some quality grounds, or maybe even access more areas and open up to public that aren't currently in the program. So hoping to see if we can help do our part. I mean, it was built by hunters. I mean, everyone who I've been working with on it is a hunter, and we're doing this to help others and just kind of see what we can do to keep this around and grow it into the future.
I'll tell you, that really sounds like a useful tool, Tyson. I think we better stop and go to our first break. I'd like to have you back to talk about long-range shooting and what kind of habitat I'd like to look for to go out on opening weekend. So we're on that first break.
All right, you're tuned in to What's In Outdoors, KVOE Live and Local. It is 8:46. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
The crew at Express Tire and Auto would like to thank all veterans in all branches, past and present, for their service and sacrifice. They salute you. Express Tire and Auto reminds you to stay on top of routine vehicle maintenance. Proper vehicle maintenance can save you money and improve your safety while on the road. Contact John or Jenny at 620-343-9994. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30, Saturdays until noon.
You've waited long enough, but hunting season is finally here. Bluestem Farm and Ranch has everything you need for a successful season, from calls and scents to blinds, decoys, and clothing. Stay warm and dry in the best camo and orange, and don't forget the dry layers and boots. Shop the wide selection of everything you need to get outdoors and enjoy a great hunt. Get ready for the field with just one stop to Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE Live and Local, you're tuned in to What's in Outdoors, KVOE, every Friday morning with Phil Totten. Let's head back to Studio North. Phil, back to you.
Well, listeners, we're talking with Tyson Sayre. Tyson lives up around Glen Elder, and he is a graduate of Emporia State. And he's talking about a great app that you can use to find good places to hunt that's enlisted in the walk-in hunter's access area. And Tyson, I've been wanting to ask you, when you was in Emporia State, you were involved with the Wildlife Society, and that was really cool when we brought some kids over from Northern Heights to help them study for an Envirothon. Didn't you and I work together to get you certified as a hunter education teacher?
Yes, we did.
Was it you that one morning I picked up and was going down the road and there was a dead possum on the road and we stopped and I asked you to go pick that possum up?
It may have been. I've picked up a lot of things off the side of the road in my Phil.
Well, it was some young instructor and I had to laugh and, well, Phil, what are you going to do with that possum? And so Walter said, well, we're going to have a hunter trail test, and it's always something that we'll put out there to just see what people will react to once they find out in the woods. So that possum became a part of our teaching class. And that's one thing to relate to this story was I used to always look forward to going out to Western Kansas on a Friday to see how the land was changed, to talk to the farmers, to see what kind of numbers of wildlife that they have. But now, you know, with the apps and with the technology that we have, I can see where your app can really save a lot of time and miles, especially, you know, in our busy world. So I want to thank you for covering that. And listeners, we do have on my personal Facebook page, I have all of Tyson's contact information, and it shows how this app works, just some excellent videos. And Tyson, did you learn all that in Emporia State?
So that's kind of where some of the software technology behind this kind of had some interest. When I was in high school, talking to some of the professionals in this industry that I knew I was wanting to go into with wildlife management, GIS was just kind of just starting out, and this is 15, 20 years ago, and they said they didn't even hardly even knew what these letters were, but that geospatial information systems, I mean, it's the world of mapping, electronics, and I got into it when I got to Emporia State. I said, I'm interested in this as well, and got a minor in the degree there and did a lot of projects and stuff with Wildlife and Parks there on campus while I was helping work at the research center, and kind of got kind of an interest for it and was getting pretty good at it and liked it, and used it a little bit since then, but this is the first time to really start applying some of that science, and I'm having to go back to the textbook and learn how to do a few things and probably looking at consulting with a few other professionals and that are up to date. The technology has changed even since I last used it at Emporia. So yeah, but great stuff there. That's kind of where I got my first dose of GIS and some of this mapping technology that's available today.
Oh, that's cool. Well, Tyson, I know you're still involved with youth programs and that you do run a shooting competition called Extreme Long Range Shooting. And am I reading this right, that you can shoot up to 2+ miles?
Yeah, we have some shooters that can shoot further than we can see.
that is my limit.
Yeah, we got I got involved with this when I was working at Ringneck Ranch. I helped develop a long range shooting course, and we had steel targets in the pasture. I mean, this is a wide open pasture with no roads, no fences for miles, so we were completely safe shooting into a big natural earth berm. The Blue Hills out there, the hillsides and stuff, just provided a great backstop and a great range to shoot long range and learn the ballistics and the science involved with shooting long range, beyond what most people would apply for hunting scenarios, but mostly for target and testing your abilities and the performance of the guns and ammunition. So got into that, met with some other folks, and become a match director for a couple of events that we've been running. We have 2 years we offered an extreme long range we call ELR, and we had a shoot out to a mile and beyond. We almost reached 2 miles the first year, and we had several impacts on these targets. And these targets are usually about 3 foot wide, 3 foot tall. And some of the extreme long range, the 2 mile targets are about 48 inches by 48. So that sounds big, but when you look at it from that distance, it's not very big at all. And we had a competition. We usually have about 80 people show up from around the country. These are the best shooters in the country. With COVID, we were shut down for global travel. Some of the guys that come from other countries to shoot in these competitions were unavailable. But we had about all we had time for over a 2-day competition. A company called Applied Ballistics comes in with a mobile Doppler radar unit, and they actually get a day of practice ahead of time on the practice range, shooting over this Doppler radar to get a ballistics report of what the bullet does in flight at these extreme distances to help them produce a shooting solution to be able to put that bullet on target when they go through the math and the equation, the science and the environmental elements. They can put that all together. They only get 5 tries at the target, and we had several first and second round impacts on targets that were 40 inches over at 2 mile distance, and we did have a couple impacts at over 4,000 yards on one of the targets that we were shooting at. So it's really neat to see. They're shooting some big specialized guns. There are a lot of them are shooting 375, 416, 460, some stuff up there near that 50 caliber range. But specialized bullets, everything's hand done, hand loaded, solid copper projectiles. We've been out to the field and collected some of the impact bullets. When they hit that steel, they just kind of mushroom back into a flower. And it's pretty neat to see and watch and experience some of that right in front of us. But so I have a passion for that now as well, but I don't have a firearm or the resources to be able to build something and compete at that level. So what we have found in my abilities is to take my old .22 rimfire and stretch it out to its maximum potential to see what we can do on targets at extreme distances for a .22. And to date, I think my furthest impact that I've got on target, this is a 12-inch square, so about the size of a dinner plate at 600 yards is what I've done. But it's pretty neat. We shoot a lot of times 300, 400, 500 yards with our rimfire. We have a few special tools we'll use as far as gaining elevation and specialized optics, but it's real fun to plink with something inexpensively as a .22 and kind of get that gratification of learning the ballistics and the drop and being able to kind of play at those ranges with that for kind of some fun target. But there's limitations to the accuracy and consistency of ammunition and everything with .22s. Isn't near what it is with some of the bigger centerfire guns. So, but on a smaller scale, it's as enjoyable.
Well, goodness, Tyson, you are a wealth of knowledge. I need to get you back later on after this field's been tromped a little bit, and I'm going to talk about your kennels and your bird dogs, and especially those kids. So, Tyson, thanks for being on the show. I better go to my last break and wind up watching outdoors. You stay safe out there, Tyson. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we're bringing you What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten. It's 8:56. Back to wrap it up after this.
Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
That city slicker was dead serious when he asked me, "Hey, how long does it take to grow birds after you plant bird seed?" Well, whether you want to try to grow birds or attract them, head to Bluestem. Bluestem Farm and Ranch has bird seed, or a bird feed, and bird feeders, bird houses and bird baths too. Even binoculars for a closer look. If it's for the birds, Bluestem's got it, with a variety of well-known brands of each at great prices. We'll see you bird lovers at Bluestem Farm and Ranch, Highway 50 in Emporia.
The crew at Express Tire and Auto would like to thank all veterans in all branches, past and present, for their service and sacrifice. They salute you. Express Tire and Auto reminds you to stay on top of routine vehicle maintenance. Proper vehicle maintenance can save you money and improve your safety while on the road.
contact John or Jenny at 620-343-9994. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30, Saturdays until noon.
KVOE Live and Local, it is 8:57, and back to Studio North, Phil Totten, as we wrap up this week's edition of What's in Outdoors. Phil?
I'll tell you, the wind is really swirling down here, Ron. The water in the lake is down at the bottom level of 50 degrees. So, the boaters, if you're thinking about getting out there, don't.
Don't.
I'll tell you that. White caps are up, and one thing about the wind like this is blowing all the leaves out of my yard, but I'm just evaluating how many leaves are being blowed into my yard from other yards. So it is really windy out there, so really some people are catching fish, but it's just not worth it. You'll find a better day. Ron, I did miss the deadline for the 4-H shooting sports for their BB gun and air rifle competitions and disciplines. That was November 1. But if people are interested in shooting, they do need to talk about or get their kids involved with firearm safety and education and shooting. They do need to get hold of Corinne there at the at 4-H and let them know. March 1 is the deadline for archery, small bore rifle, small bore pistol, shotgunning, and muzzle loading. So big news here, Ron, is the number of birds that are migrating back. Just this week I saw juncos, the Harris sparrow. The buzzards are gone around here, which is pretty cool, and being replaced by the eagles. So people that want to get some good pictures of eagles, either side of the dam here at the reservoir gives you a good opportunity, or down below the outlet area. And Ron, next week we're going to have Jessica White on the show. Jessica is the founder of Wonder Woman Outdoors, and the show will be coming from Catfish Conference there at Bartles Hall.
All right.
So you stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Yeah, stay off that water. The wind's going to be gusting 40-plus and won't die down until midnight tonight. So stay safe, Phil.
You too, sir.
Phil Totten, What's in Outdoors. Good show today. What's in Outdoors, brought to you by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower, and by Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. You hop on to KVOE.com, Community tab, click on that, you'll find the What's in Outdoors page, all kinds of great information, always in photos from Phil Totten, What's in Outdoors. Phil's in every Friday morning right around 8:20 here, KVOE Live and Local. Good morning, it's 8:59.
Vice President Kamala Harris in France and asked about U.S.